Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, hey, we have had a lot of things to say under the broad topic of flattery, which is under the even broader topic of an unpretentious ministry, which is the fourth of the items whereby Paul describes his own ministry among the Thessalonians, and he's writing, of course, to them in 1 Thessalonians, which is the book that we are studying at this time. And in describing what his ministry was like among the Thessalonians, we can compare it with what he says elsewhere and realize this is the way he carried out his ministry everywhere. It wasn't a unique approach to Thessalonica. Paul did not custom make his approaches to fit different situations, at least when it came to the message. Now, he did talk about how with the Jews he would live like a Jew, and with the Gentiles he would live like a Gentile, but he wasn't talking about changing his message. He didn't have one gospel for the Jews and another gospel for the Gentiles. What he was talking about was cultural practices that he would change in order to remove as much offense as he legitimately could. And so when he was among the Jews, he followed Jewish dietary laws and other Jewish customs. He observed Jewish feast days. He observed other elements of the Mosaic law, which he knew thoroughly. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew these things thoroughly. He had observed them all carefully during his lifetime until the time he was saved on the Damascus Road. And even after that, it's apparent that he practiced a good many of these things. And he certainly did when he was in Jerusalem and in a majority Jewish community. But when he was among Gentiles, he didn't insist on that. He didn't create an unnecessary barrier to the gospel by saying, somebody invited him into their home, and he said, oh, no, I can't eat that. I can't eat that pork. You see, that's the kind of barrier that Jews had created between themselves and Gentiles. In fact, it even went further than that. You remember what Peter said when Cornelius invited him to come and speak to him, and God gave him a vision to show him that that was what God wanted him to do, and he protested. That vision showed all kinds of animals, what the Jews considered clean and unclean, and God said, arise and eat, without distinction. You eat any of them and all of them. Don't make any distinction. And Peter said, I've never, never eaten anything that was unclean. And God said, what God has cleansed, don't you call common or unclean. And then he received the invitation to go into the home of Cornelius. And one of the first things he said when he was invited in there to speak was to say, you know that among we Jews, it was unlawful for us. I don't know if that's the word he used, but we would not come into a Gentile house. We would not fellowship with Gentiles in their home. We would not eat with Gentiles at their table. But Paul said when it came to the gospel, he would do that in a heartbeat. When he was with Gentiles, he ate a Gentile diet, whatever they were eating. I know some Christians today that would have trouble with that. They're so finicky, so picky. Got to have just exactly what I prefer and what I like. And I understand. I try to eat healthy. My wife and I both try to eat healthy. But hey, you're going to have to give that up, really, if you're going to be mindful of unnecessary barriers to your gospel witness. Well, I've got to pause and welcome you to this Tuesday, April 23 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, thanking you for joining us and thanking you for supporting us with the finances necessary to keep teaching God's Word on the station. Yes, I say you need to be able to be flexible, not inflexible about those things. If you want to eat a certain way when you're at home, go to it. You've got that liberty. You can have a diet that is as strict as you want it to be. Whatever you think is suitable, whatever you think is healthy, whatever you think is preferred, whatever you think is desired. But for Christian testimony's sake, if a neighbor of yours invites them into your home and then sets the food before you that they normally eat, you don't say, "Oh, yuck, I don't eat that." You eat it. That's what Paul is telling us. When he's among the Jews, he lives like a Jew. When he's among the Gentiles, he lives like a Gentile. Because the important thing is not these customs, these cultural matters, these physical matters. The important thing is the gospel and their need of Jesus Christ and anything that he would do to create a barrier so that people were focusing upon this awkwardness, this insult that they will feel because of the way you're acting that keeps them from hearing the gospel. Now, that's a problem. Now, as we're dealing with this area of flattery, which is where we've been camping down in 1 Thessalonians 2:5, where Paul said, "For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know." And I have talked to you about the importance of a minister, a preacher, a pastor in particular, being faithful to preach everything that's in the Bible, what is called in one place the whole counsel of God. But I'm also mindful that there are pastors who have pastored for many years in the same church, and yet there are certain portions of the Bible, certain doctrines in the Bible that they have never proclaimed, that they have never touched, that they have determined not to because they might cause controversy. I'm thinking, I've had so many conversations like this, but I'm thinking of one that I had maybe 25, 30 years ago now. A preacher friend that I had known for many, many years said to me about a particular doctrine, I watched you when you first came into your area and didn't believe that, and then you came to embrace that. You saw it in the Bible and you embraced it. He said, "Well, I've embraced that all along. I embraced that doctrine when I was in Bible college." And I said, "Really? I had no idea but you believed that." He pastored two churches in our area before he moved on to a town about 40, 50 miles away and continued pastoring. And so I said to this dear brother, and I do consider him a dear brother, I said, "Well, how's your church in that where you are now? How are they accepting that?" "Oh, I've got to be careful. I don't say anything about that to my church." "Well, why not? How can you preach the whole counsel of God and a doctrine that you say you believe and yet avoid it in the pulpit? Is that preaching the whole counsel of God?" That sounds like flattery. You're giving people what they delight to hear, what they want to hear, rather than making them deal with, wrestle with, come to terms with things that they have not been willing to embrace, but the Bible teaches them. How can you be a faithful pastor like that? And so that's why I concluded early in my ministry that for me to carry out my responsibility as a pastor, I was going to have to preach through books of the Bible with consecutive exposition. In other words, preach through a book dealing with every verse in that book on my way through and dealing with the hard parts, the difficult parts. I have had times. I can remember dealing with one particular issue that was so difficult for many people in our church. And I remember a longtime member of our church and a very faithful attender, I mean unusually faithful in attendance and in financial support of the church. And he came to me after one service and said, "Why did you have to preach that? Why didn't you just leave that alone and skip over that?" And I said, I had to preach it because that's what came next. Haven't you figured out after all these years that you've been here that after I finish one sermon, the next sermon is always going to be an exposition of what comes next? And if it's in the Bible, God put it there, and I'm being faithful to preach through the Word of God, then I am going to find myself dealing with difficult doctrines. I'm going to find myself dealing with things that I don't fully understand, but I'll deal with them the best I can, come to understand them the best I can, tell people what I believe this means the best I'm able to do it. And in those areas where I'm just not sure, I sometimes just say to folks, I can give you three possibilities of what this means. I don't do this often, but I do it occasionally. Let me give you three possibilities of what this means. Some think it means this, number one. Some think it means that, number two. Some think it means this, number three. I usually will tell them what I think is the right choice of those three, but sometimes I will say, I'm not sure. I don't want to be dishonest and proclaim as the authoritative, infallible, eternal Word of God something that is not what God has said. I can't be faithful to my responsibility to preach God's Word if I do that. So I occasionally will do something like that. Not very often. Thank the Lord that I don't have to do it very often, because usually in the course of studying for a sermon, as I wrestle with these difficult passages, I generally come to a settled conclusion as to what I think is the correct meaning of that passage, and that's what I will declare. Am I always right? I'm sure I'm not. But when I think I've come to a conclusion, that's what I will declare. This is what the passage says. This is what it means. I remember hearing a great Bible teacher that I love to listen to on the radio, who's now with the Lord. And I heard him say one time, and he was a great theologian. He had an understanding of the Bible that certainly exceeded that of most men that I've ever known. And yet he said one time, I'm quite certain that I'm probably wrong about 20% of what I believe and teach. He said, but the problem is, I just don't know what that 20% is. If I knew it, then I could deal with it and reduce that percentage. But he said, I have enough sense to know that I'm not right about all of my understandings, all of my interpretations. I'm a fallible man. But I teach what I see. I teach what I think I understand. And I realize that I could be wrong at times. I realize that I am certainly wrong at times. I just don't know at what times. You know, that's a good, humble attitude. I know some preachers that would never say anything like that. They think that would somehow diminish them in the eyes of their people, but I tend to think that will actually exalt people in the eyes of their people, exalt preachers in the eyes of their people, because people respect that kind of honesty. People respect someone who will not be dogmatic about that which is not certifiably correct. Does anybody besides the Lord Jesus Christ, does anybody who's ever preached God's Word understand all of it correctly? I think not. But we preach it the best we are able by God's help. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.